Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, Luka Doncic brought out the MJ shrug after a third quarter three last night. So, Paul, this brought up an interesting conversation in the newsroom. Do there need to be restrictions on when this drug is allowed and when it is not?
You consistently hitting step back three-pointers from 30 feet. I guess it's calls for a shrug.
Right?
I mean, it's like, he can't even believe he's consistently doing this.
I just like that he knew that Jordan did the shrug. He's not from America. Good for him. He's locked into the NBA history.
I was going to ask how old he was when the Jordan shrug happened, but I fear the answer is... he was not born yet. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols alongside our already Hall of Famer, Jackie McMullen, and our future Hall of Famer, Mr. Paul Pierce. Amin Alhassan is going to join us later in the show. Coming up, Woj reporting Paul George will make his Clippers debut in one of the team's next two games. So we're going to look at whether his playing schedule should line up with Kawhi's and how. First, though, if you're a Celtics fan, I can understand not quite knowing how to feel last night. There was the winning, which, you know, is nice. Boston beat Dallas for the Celtics' eighth W in a row. It was gritty and fun, and if you squinted just hard enough while it was happening, you could see the future as Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Luka Doncic, and Kristaps Porzingis, all age 24 or younger, monopolized the floor. So, you know, winning. Winning is good. But also there was the news about Gordon Hayward. Less good. Hayward underwent surgery on the hand he broke over the weekend, and during last night's game, the team announced he won't be back until around Christmas. That is a huge blow for the Celtics, who've been getting about 20 points a night from him, and a huge blow for Hayward, who just dropped 39 in a game last week. That was a career high. He'd been averaging 7 rebounds a game, also a career high. At least the break happened in his non-shooting hand, and also at least now we can bring back, yep, you knew it was coming, Haywatch!
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So, hey, there's a silver lining in everything. Anyway, back to the winning. This early streak from Boston, it's not a shock, right? We've talked plenty on this show about how in a season where so many teams had switched out personnel, the four Celtics players who participated in Team USA this summer would get a jump on the rest of the league on learning how to play together. Still, even if you predicted Boston would get off to a strong start, you had to hedge that guys like Brown and Tatum could shake off what happened last season, and indeed, for the most part, they have. Brown erupted for 30 points over the weekend in San Antonio, and last night he chipped in another 25 along with 11 rebounds. So again, if we're putting things in columns here, Jaylen Brown, good. As for Tatum, well, let's just say that while he's had some bright moments so far this season, last night wasn't one of them as he shot a remarkable 1 for 18 from the floor. In the entire 74 history of the NBA, 74 years, less than 10 players have put together a night with that kind of volume to efficiency ratio. Less than 10. And some of Tatum's misses would have been downright comical if he hadn't been so hard up for a basket. Let's count the bounces on this one here, shall we? 1, 2, 3, 4, and out. Or what about this one? Hey, this actually went in, only to get negated by a foul. A couple hours after the game ended, Jason posted a video of himself at the Celtics practice facility trying to get up extra shots. And hey, at least he has a sense of humor about the whole thing, writing, got to be able to laugh at yourself sometimes. Also with a sense of humor last night was Marcus Smart. He was in the good column with his defense on Doncic, although in the bad column was this moment when Doncic kicked him nether regions. It was an accident, but it's actually happened to Smart a few times this young season. And here was Marcus after the game.
I don't know what it is why I keep getting kicked in the groin. I don't know what it is about that, so we got to figure out a solution to stop that.
Don't worry, Marcus. Danny Ainge has a solution here. That's what you want, right? A resourceful front office. As for Kemba Walker, he too had a bit of a mixed night. Kemba had a slow first half, but in the second, he caught fire when it mattered, giving the Celtics back-to-back threes to put the game out of the Mavericks' reach. Some of these were really nice, by the way. He had 8 total. By the time it was all over, fans were streaming out of the Garden happy. I mean, they weren't dancing to Geno-level happy, which pretty much describes the whole last 24 hours for Boston. There was the good and the bad, but it never got ugly. And that, for at least one night, was enough. Paul, what do you think is clicking with the Celtics right now?
Well,
they lost on opening night. They haven't lost since.
Yeah, they lost overnight. But this is the thing. I think once Jaylen Brown went down, you saw Gordon Hayward start to really play well. Then Gordon Hayward goes down and see Jaylen Brown pick up his play. So it'll be interesting to see when those two guys are both healthy. Because I think when one of them was hurt, they all had their defined roles. You knew, okay, these two guys are going to be the scorer. Kemba, he's going to score. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Tatum. Gordon, if he's got it going. And that's how we're going to play between us three. Now, when you got four guys almost averaging 20 points, that's what I'm going to look and see how that really works out. But since, you know, they haven't had many games all together, the defined roles are there. What's Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, I really like him in that lineup because he's a defined role. You don't have to worry about him being a scorer. He defends, he plays the utility guy, and everybody else can be the scorers and playmakers.
Well, let's start with this. They are the lowest in the league in turnovers, mm-hmm. and it's by a wide margin, 10.8 turnovers a game. Kemba's always taking care of the ball. The Celtics actually took care of the ball reasonably well last year, too. Now, here's the thing that surprises me the most. They're third in defensive shooting percentage, 41.7% opponents shoot against them. That surprised me because of the personnel shifts, especially Al Horford and Aaron Baines. I thought they would really be more susceptible in protecting the rim. They are not. These are the things that surprise me. But what did they tell Jaylen Brown in the offseason? You know what they told him. Jaylen, put the ball on the floor and go to the basket mall. That's where you're best. Last year, 2.8 free throw attempts a game. Already this year, 5.17. That's almost double. That's huge. What did they tell Jason Tatum? Maybe took it to an nth degree in this game. We want you to shoot threes, not those long twos.
Take the ball to the hole.
Take the ball. But if you're not going to do that, take a step back and shoot three-pointers. Don't be Kobe. Hayward, just be yourself. He was shooting 55% when he went out. I'm telling you, Hayward said to me, we spray the ball.
Yeah,
such a great way to describe what they're doing. It's just a better vibe, Paul. It's just a better vibe.
I mean, obviously, they got better leadership in there. Let's just call it how
different,
it is.
Different leadership.
Better.
You think so?
It's better. I mean, Kemba, he's known throughout the league as being a great leader. I mean, he played on losing teams. He stayed positive.
Always.
He went out and played hard every night. And that could be infectious. That could be the difference between losing and winning and chemistry. And that's what he's brought to the Celtics.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Kemba, when you miss a shot, you can hear him in the huddle when they make him up. Keep shooting. You know, when Gordon Hayward's taking a shot and missing, Kyrie's going, what are you doing? So it is a different vibe.
I was going to say that. You could hear Kemba telling Jason Tatum last night, keep shooting, keep shooting. And, yeah, you're right. There would have been sideways glances from everyone last year, right? Everybody kind of picked up and picked that up. And now I would say they're all following Kemba's lead, which is why he is so valuable in so many ways. With him coming in, there were some concerns about the defense, right? Kemba just because of his size, not the way he plays. But we've seen Brad Stevens be able to scheme for that in the past. And the team defense, again,
seems to be
withstanding Baines and Al leaving.
Because their perimeter defense is good. They're eighth in the league defending the three-point shot. All of those things are great. The things you have to worry about at the bench, you know, Grant Williams, 0 for 13. He still hasn't hit his first three-pointer.
Yes.
Carson Edwards has proven to be a streak shooter. They're going to need more off that bench. And I'm with you. I love Marcus Smart in the starting lineup. But that's just going to be a luxury they're not going to be able to afford once everybody gets healthy.
Right.
I want to flip to the other side of that matchup because Kristaps Porzingis really struggled here. He was only 1 of 11, which would have been in another game the worst shooting performance tonight. But Jason Tatum. Rick Carlisle sat Porzingis for the final 9 minutes of the fourth quarter. And if you expected KP to be upset, he wasn't. Here was his perspective.
Yeah, of course I want to be out there, you know. Can't blame him. You know, wasn't having a great game. Thought, you know, so I'm all in for whatever is best for the team, you know. So if he thinks, coach thinks, you know, rather have me out and have somebody else in that has sounded like a better game, let's do it. If we can win a basketball game, you know, so that's the most important thing. So, but going forward, I want to make sure I'm out there.
Kind of the best attitude you could ask from someone. What do you think was the reason he's been struggling a bit?
Well, how can you expect a guy who's been out a year and a half to come back and be consistent out the gate? I mean, you know, we saw this happen with Paul George. We saw this happen with Gordon Hayward. These guys missed a year, then you come back. So he's going to have his ups and downs, which we expected. He'll get into a rhythm pretty soon. You know, maybe it'll take 30, 40 games, but I'm sure he'll get into a rhythm. You know, his legs has to get under him, basketball shape. You know, it's early in the season, so you can see his legs probably getting tired. He's not getting up and down the court. He doesn't have the same lift after 10 games of not playing after a year and a half. So he'll be fine. And so coach probably saw something like, look, he probably needed more rest, sat him down the last 5 minutes. And it's all for the good in the long run.
I think, too, Carlisle's looking at it, and he's seen Marcus Smart guarding Porzingis in the post. And you know what that is. If you're a big guy, you're like, come on, I can score on this right. dude. And when you can't, you keep doing it, and you're forcing it. He forced some of those shots. And then Carlisle's like, okay, dude.
Not a lot of people can score on Marcus Smart.
No.
Right. I saw him defend Kevin Love. Freak. I saw him a couple
That's
weeks
right.
ago.
So I think if you're Carlisle, you're like, don't worry about it. Sit down. You know, this is what Marcus Smart does
That's
to teams.
What he does.
That's why he's an All-NBA defender. He can guard guys 5-6 yes. inches tall. And he gets inside your head. And I think he got into Porzingis' head a little bit.
It's going to be an interesting week for Kristaps Porzingis. Mm-hmm. You know what happens on Thursday. Return to Madison Square Garden. Ooh, yeah. Be watching for
Will
that
they
one.
Get cheered or booed?
I don't know. They're so busy booing their own team. There might not be any boos left.
There's so many different things that could happen in that game. We will be certainly talking about over the next couple days going into it. Coming up, we're going to talk about Paul George. He is set to make his Clippers debut this week. Mm-mm. And how should they plan that when they're also going to be dealing with Kawhi's load management because the Clippers are going to have a back-to-back midweek? This is interesting. We're going to talk about it. Time for our distant replay from this date. This is the one in 1999, and it caused a buzz in Buzz City. Goodbye. Well, Baron Davis action.
Oh, my boy, Too Easy. They call him Too Easy.
Too Easy.
The game was just too easy.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
He made it look too easy.
Man. I miss Baron Davis.
Oh. Well, you can see him in the Big Three for a while.
Yes, I can.
I got my cape on. Like superheroes do about
to take off. It's a make or miss lead.
It's a make or miss lead.
I don't know, man.
Make?
Miss. It's a make or miss lead.
You know, Kyle Korver, you know. Make. Denials. Kawhi finds a cutting Montrezl Harrell, who tries to pack it with two hands.
That was nice.
Whoa.
Gets turned away with two hands by Chris Boucher.
You don't see Montrezl get blocked too much at the rim either.
Nope.
That's why that was nice right there.
Nope.
Chris Boucher. The Raptors are at it again.
As soon
great little finds that we don't know about.
I wish I could have got a two-hand block.
Yeah, but how about when you catch it after you block it?
Right, exactly.
See, the thing about a good block is your team has to get the block.
It.
Right? So they don't retain possession. So, sorry, not the best block of the week. You got to retain possession on the block.
The handed blocks are pretty fun.
Hey, that's...
Come on, Mark, get your paws out.
I wish I had any of those, just one in my highlight. I played the game 30 years.
You didn't block anybody?
High school, junior high, NBA.
You're not that old. Come on, man.
I don't think I've got one two-handed block.
Miss Common Sense, second quarter in San Antonio. DeJounte Murray and Trey Lyles have some trouble with the inbound.
What's right here?
That's my question to you.
He threw it in, and he stepped
out. See, he didn't get
right, he's like, wait, no. See, he inbounds it.
He inbounded, but he doesn't realize.
He doesn't realize it. He thinks that he just is right. And he's like, no, you can't.
Oh,
you can't.
We've seen some crazy plays.
We've had some inbounding trouble in the last two weeks.
Remember Bledsoe just dribbled the ball in?
Whatever, just walked in with the CS.
Westbrook just grabbed the ball and started walking.
Yep. I think part of it is because the sideline's so close. They're like, wait, was I out of bounds? Was he out of bounds?
Look at this. This was crazy. The ball is in bounds. Hey, y'all, this is pickup game. Hey, I got you. You get over there. All right, let's go.
By the way, that was crazy, like Kevin Durant,
right,
Russell Westbrook
right.
at the time, right, when they were like really going at each other, and he was like,
That is really funny.
Make athleticism. Donovan Mitchell continues to impress. So first he had this massive slam hung in the air.
Ooh.
Then later, watch this nice little drive and dish to Mike Conley here. Oh, that's a slam, okay.
Gotta replay that. Gotta give it one more look.
Okay.
Two more looks.
It deserves many looks. Many looks. All right, here's the dish to Conley.
That's nice, right?
So, see, I wanted to get to that. Do you think, Jackie, this would be Donovan Mitchell's first All-Star nod this season?
I absolutely do. I thought so preseason. And, you know, Conley struggled early, but I think he's going to find his rhythm. And I think they're going to be a really dangerous backcourt. He's going to put up the numbers. He's going to put up All-Star numbers, and Utah's going to need to be represented.
I would hope so. It's going to be close because we're going to have a lot of new All-Stars, I believe.
True.
You got to say Luka Doncic.
Yep.
He's going to be there. Got maybe Devin Booker.
Yep.
I think he's got a shot. So it's going to be close.
Interesting. Missed buckets mid-third quarter here in L.A. last night. So the Clippers have like 10 cracks at it, but they cannot get a bucket. All right, we got to speed up because there were so many, you can't even do it in real time. And
all good looks, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And
People forget this is the defending champs. Put some respect on their name, even though they don't have Kawhi. These guys got championship experience.
Absolutely, but they didn't have Kyle Lowry last night. They didn't have Pascal Siakam last night. And that, to me, is what makes the last two nights really so impressive. They beat the Lakers. They really, I'm sorry, Ibaka is the one who, Pascal obviously has been gangbusters.
People have written them off.
But these guys lead the league, and teams shoot 40% against them. They're the best defensive team in the league.
They've been phenomenal. And again, what they did here in LA with that back-to-back, even though they didn't win last night, I was at that game.
Nick Nurse is a great coach.
Van Vliet is a starting point guard in this league.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Playing off the bench behind Lowry.
Well, he's getting all those shots now that Kawhi's gone. He's not going anywhere.
Well, Kung Fu, so Matt Celtics, he showed this earlier. Yeah, it was an accident. Nobody says it wasn't an accident. But I did want to know, Paul, if you were involved.
This is an accident. I mean, I went up with my knee. I mean, how supposed to, I can't.
How
the knee goes up when you go up. And he jumped in the way.
He jumped in front of you with his groin.
I thought, how do I know that the trajectory of his body is going to jump into me? If I come off the ground first, then he jumps into me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean. Mm-hmm.
You know what this is, though? You know what it is. This is why guys don't like to take charges. Admit it, right? Admit it. This is why you guys like to take charges.
I mean, he didn't try to take a charge here. He just jumped in.
Well, that one,
I don't know. I just, you know how to put
him
in the
basket. Mark is smart. This is what he does. He takes charges.
Yeah, he takes charges.
And sometimes he doesn't even have any contact, but it looks like he did. He's like the best at that.
He is certainly the best at that. There's no question about that. Let's get back to the Clippers because they won their seventh game last night by, in fact, beating the Raptors. It was a little bit of a weird stat line for Kawhi Leonard, right? He shot 2 for 11. He only had 12 points. He committed 9 turnovers. But on the other hand, he was only an assist shy of a triple-double. You could tell at the end, by the way, they were trying to get him. That didn't happen. I wouldn't say that anyone has the blueprint for guarding one of the top 2 or 3 players in the league.
Right.
But have they at least shown the Raptors, because they know him so well, Jackie, how you do defend against Kawhi?
Yeah, in fact, Nick Nurse talked about it the day before. If they're going to beat us, we're going to try to make sure it isn't Kawhi. They threw a lot of bodies at him. From what I remember them telling me, you want to have Kawhi put the ball on the floor. Mm-hmm. And they did that a lot in this game. And when he put the ball on the floor, they stripped him. You know, Nick Nurse is just so underrated as a coach. And, they did win the championship last year, and he had a lot to do with that. And, of course, Kawhi had more to do with it, but... Their schemes are good.
Their schemes are good. They're a great defensive team, but Siakam is a great defender also.
He is. Incredible.
You know, and he has a chance to watch this guy all year long. I always said that about players when they went to other teams that I practiced with, and I had to guard them, like Antoine Walker, for instance. I was like, I know all his moves.
Right.
Like, I know exactly his tendencies, what he's going to do. So when he came back, I lock him up. You know, I knew everything he would do. And that's the same thing the Raptors seen it every single day.
Especially because he was shooting threes in a row.
I mean, to your point about Nick Nurse, he didn't get the job because they were sort of, floundering around for a coach. He got the job because Masai Ujiri had so much confidence in him.
Right.
He moved a very good Coach of the Year award winner, out of that job because he thought Nick Nurse so badly needed a shot. And he obviously proved himself winning that championship. And then with this team, which is an entirely different kind of challenge.
It is.
Especially they were thin to begin with, and now with... Of course, Serge and Kyle Lowry out.
Those are two big guys to lose.
Yes.
Right, so we'll see how they go there. You talked about Kawhi, though. Here's what you do against Kawhi Leonard. That is going to be a lot harder when Paul George comes back. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Paul George expected to make his season debut this week, either Wednesday or Thursday. They've got a back-to-back with Paul George leaning toward the latter game on Thursday. But Paul, Kawhi has not been playing back-to-backs, and it doesn't look like he's going to. So do you think that PG should debut with Kawhi so that they're together, or pick the day that Kawhi is not on the floor?
Well, I think it doesn't matter either way, but if you pick the day when he's not on the floor, it allows Paul to be the number one option. Therefore, you can try to highlight him, start trying to get him in more of a rhythm because he's been out so long. And then when you bring Kawhi back, so I'll mix it up throughout the first 15, 20 games until Paul George gets a rhythm. Once I see he's starting getting his legs under him, he's hitting a rhythm, then I'll start playing them together more. Because what's important is having them both down the stretch. If you can have them both down the stretch for, like you say, your last 20, 25 games playing together, they'll be fine.
Yeah, but the flip side of that would be that if you come back and Kawhi's on the floor with you, he knows how to make things easier for you. Because he was out all last year, too. He understands what it takes and where you need the ball and how you can get movement going for him. I would say this. If I'm Paul George, I don't really care what Kawhi Leonard's doing. I'm not even kidding. I mean, this is to a point, right? If Kawhi Leonard has a persistent injury issue, then we just need to know that. Because if he's
healthy, the league sort of told everybody that last week.
Right
after the controversy back and forth with Doc, the league's press release said patella tendon issue.
And right. So if that's the case, let's just call it what it is and don't put Doc Rivers and everybody else in the position or the league in the position they've been put in. So if I'm Paul George, I'm just going to worry about playing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to worry about any who's playing, who isn't playing. I got to worry about me coming back and taking care of my team and helping my team.
I agree, although you know that they target games for certain guys to
yes,
come back.
If, I do
say,
know
it's
that.
A, you know, I mean, the Phoenix Suns for a long time. Everybody was coming back against the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
Now, to the Suns' credit, to Monty Williams' credit, nobody wants to come back against the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, they're playing really great.
We'll see, but it is a back-to-back Wednesday, Thursday. Only one of those games is a national television game, so I would assume, I don't know anything, Kawhi has played the second night of the back-to-back most recently, but I would assume perhaps this week that the Clippers would be encouraged if he's only going to play one of those games to pick the national TV game. If you're placing bets on when he's going to play, we'll have to see. Coming up, let's talk about Tony Parker, because it's always fun to get to talk about Tony Parker. We don't get to do it enough anymore. Spurs, retired stars, jersey got us thinking. Where do San Antonio's big three rank among the all-time trios? We're going to talk about that next, so get your scratch pads out. This week, star-studded NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts with the Clippers taking on the Rockets again.
Nice.
My guess is we'd see Kawhi Leonard there, just saying.
Off
the Staples Center after that for the Lakers hosting the Warriors, and we will talk a little Steph Curry in a bit. Our coverage that night begins with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app.
Or Hoop Streams, I'll be there.
I want to apologize for all the physical and mental abuse I gave you the whole time you were here.
The story that he tells is that I didn't speak for him for his first year of his career here. I won't confirm nor deny that.
San Antonio always going to be home for me. It's very important that you know that. The last two, what can I say? What can I say? The friendship and the bond, that's what I love the most. I love you too. And we'll be together forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up one more time for number 9, Tony Parker.
Man, the Spurs really do those jersey retirements right. Remember they did Manu's last year? This is so classy. Welcome back to The Jump. Now joining us is our front office insider, Amino Hassan. And I want to talk about what we just saw with Tony Parker's jersey retirement. When you think about the various big threes, and we saw him shout out his guys there. By the way, I'd like to say about Tim Duncan, if he doesn't speak to you in the first year, he just might not be speaking that year. It might not be personal. Anyway, you heard him shout out Tim and Manu. So I want to know where you think their big three ranks among the all-time trios.
It's hard to rank them. I mean, if you name them, you got Bird, Parrish, Kevin McHale, Scott, Worthy Jabbar, right? Magic. You got, obviously you have.
That's four, by the way, though. You have to pick for a team.
I'll try to shout out B. Scott. Right? You've got the Heatles.
Yeah.
Right? Bosh, Wade, and LeBron. You've got the Warriors with KD, Steph, and Clay. You go further back, you got Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, Earl the Pearl. You got Bill Russell and take your pick or whoever. You got this gentleman right here with Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. The list goes on and on.
I hear you just not answering. But I hear.
It's one of those questions that can't be answered. But what we can say that's special about these guys is three guys who were not born in this country, right? Mm-hmm. Which is very, very rare. You think about Tim Duncan.
Yes. Yep.
He's American, but he grew up in the Virgin Islands.
Yep.
He was a swimmer up until a hurricane destroyed his swimming pool, so then he had to pick up basketball.
Poor thing.
Well, just the idea that the three guys who are not from here would be play the most games together and win the most as a result, that longevity. It was just something truly special.
And we talked a lot on the show yesterday. I remember so specifically covering some of the prejudice against Tony Parker and just the people who didn't want to give him a shot because of where he came from and what he was and how he just kept like a bulldog fighting back and saying, I deserve this. And learned, too, that he took the criticism and got better from it.
And internally, by the way, forget about the outside world.
Right.
Pop didn't believe in him. Pop was an RC and
Pop didn't believe in Ginobili either in the beginning. So.
Well, I mean, Ginobili was wild. That was the other thing. Like he was wild.
You think?
So can you bail us out here, Jackie? Because Mr. I won't commit to anything.
All right. So I'll commit to this. To me, the most lethal trio during their time together, and you didn't even mention them.
Who?
Jordan, Pippen, and Dennis Rodman.
Yes.
72 wins.
Yes.
By far the most lethal. Yeah. But this is the most enduring, and I think it's important. Because remember now, you could do Russell Cousy and Heinsohn, you could do Russell Cousy and Sam Jones. You can't even decide who the third one is. So that's why I think in terms of enduring, these guys transcended a decade and still won together, and there was never any doubt who the three were. Right. So I think that's what separates them. Hopefully that answers.
I think when you look at them, if you look at them individually, and you say the big threes across the board, whether it's Jordan, Magic, Bird, and all, you're going to say, all right, Bird, Mikhail, Parrish, Hall of Famers. Jordan, Robin, Pippen, Hall of Famers. Now, when you look at these guys, you know Tim Duncan's going to be a Hall of Famer, possibly Manu Ginobili, but will Tony Parker be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
So,
I think he will, if he does,
then, you know, you can say, all right, this is where they rank. But I think until that's done, of course they've won more games, they've won a lot of titles, but, you know, you got a lot of guys, big threes, that are like top 50, three guys in the top 50. So I think you got to rank them like that. Even though they've won more, they've been together longer, I think you rank them amongst their individual rank in history compared to the other guys.
Looking at guys as a big three had kind of fallen out for a while, and when Ray Allen and KG joined you in Boston, the terminology kind of came back into vogue of calling you guys
great.
A big three.
The new big three.
What did that feel like when people started calling you that?
Well, before that, it was about having two guys, you know, and that's what all that mattered. But when you had three guys on one team of that caliber, you haven't seen that in quite some time. You know, three guys who've been 10-time All-Stars. You got an MVP already, Ray Allen, multiple All-Stars, and you haven't had three guys together with these type of accolades come together yet. And so, you know, it formed a new big three, and thus you saw the Heatles were born right after that.
Right.
And then so on and so on.
Now, I know that you and Rajon are tight now, and KG. There was a little bit, though, of calling these guys the big three, not the first year, but after Rondo started improving, right? It caused it a little acrimony, right?
No, but it was. It was.
It became a big four, though.
He
became a big four.
But you know what else? I think that union for Ray Allen catapulted him into a completely different stratosphere because he played very well on a lot of different teams. He had to sacrifice shots, as you know this. He had to sacrifice his role. Did it so beautifully that he then got to be part of what Miami was doing. I think it solidified in Ray Allen's Hall of Fame experience. I really do.
One of the special things about the Spurs big three, all drafted by the Spurs. You look all those names we need. Dennis wasn't a Bull originally. Parrish wasn't originally a Celtic. Obviously, Ray and KG weren't originally Celtics. Right. So all those, you know, Kareem wasn't originally a Laker. All those other ones kind of, they acquired.
Right.
They homegrown three superstars.
That's when we have to go to the Wayback Machine because Russell Cousy, Heinsohn, Russell Cousy, Sam Jones. What do you mean it doesn't count? Because you didn't remember it?
Yeah,
oh, come on, man.
Free agency.
And there's no free agency.
Stop it.
Let's
doesn't
talk
count.
About Steph Curry.
You're going to tell Russell he doesn't count? Good luck, man. Cousy's still around, too. And now I got to go back and see Tommy Heinsohn and tell him it doesn't count. Thanks a lot, man.
I loved hearing Steph Curry actually talk for himself last night because there's been so many stories about him the last week. Take a look at what he had to say.
I definitely expect to be ready to play. I don't know when, but at some point in early spring, it's just a matter of the rehab process. You know, I'm excited about the potential that the rest of the season isn't lost.
So this is so interesting, right? Because he breaks his hand about 10 days ago. He has surgery. They say he'll be reevaluated in 3 months, which at the time we were all like, I mean, you had just had surgery on your hand. 3 months is a long time. So it's sort of like, wink, wink, hey, we know what this team is doing, trying to keep its draft pick. But he said in that press conference that the plan is for him to have the pins taken that got put in that surgery, then taken out, and then he's going to recover after that as well. We saw Kyrie Irving have some of the metal that was put in his knee get infected with that staph infection later on. So maybe they're just trying to make sure and keep him totally locked down. Early spring is not, it's not soon, right? So he knocked down the report that he wasn't going to come back at all this year, but early spring is still, for a team that's not expected to make the playoffs, is that like a month of playing? What are we talking about? Is there a point, Amin, in bringing him back at all?
I mean, look, the draft pick is safe, I think. It's top 20 protected. They're clearly not going
to
have one.
Not sending that to Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's not happening. So or Memphis.
Did they get it?
Or Brooklyn. It is Brooklyn. But anyway, so that's cool right there. So now you're talking about the players who are young players who are getting time, lots of time to develop and learn the system in longer than 2 or 3 minute stints here or there.
Right.
So that's a thing. But at some point, Curry has to come back because whatever they experience running that system, even D'Angelo Russell, that's not what it really is until you got Steph in there. So there is some value in terms of development of everybody else. But in terms of, I just don't see them being in the playoff picture by then. Yeah.
No, they won't be in the playoff picture. But you know, there's a lot of legacy things on the line for him.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, why would he want to waste the whole year? If he has a chance to come back, he's going to come back. He has records that he's going to break. He's continually making records. I mean, this is about, you know, maybe they won't make the playoffs, but this guy is going to be one of the greatest 3-point shooters of all time. And so everything now is icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. And so he's just going to add to his legacy, whether it be more points, threes, whatever kind of statistics he's going to put up. Just like we saw Kobe doing his last few years when he passed Michael Jordan. Even though they weren't winning, it was legacy. It was more added to his legacy. And that's what he's going to do. Guys who are competitive want to go out there and play.
Yeah, and how about just because it's the right thing to do?
Yeah.
He's 31 years old, and you're just going to, we're all going to just blow off this season for him?
I agree.
I wouldn't want to do that if I were a player. You're shaking your head. I mean, if you were hurt and you had a chance to come back, wouldn't you want to play, work
Absolutely.
Out the kinks? The only, I mean, it's not like when you pull out David Robinson to get Tim Duncan, right? That's not this situation as far as we know.
Well, I mean, well, because
it's something.
But it could get that way. That's
similar.
It could get that way.
But
if he comes back with a month, let's say, do you think he's going to dramatically change the fortunes of the team? And we don't know what's going to happen with Clay. I think this is just the right thing to do for Steph Curry and for the Warriors.
Well, apparently this runs in the family. Damian Lee, Steph's brother-in-law, broke his hand as well. Yeah. They say he's only going to be out a couple weeks, so we will
see. What's happening with hands?
I know. It has been crazy. Gordon Hayward, Kyle Lowry, right? It's just a lot going on right now.
Little bones.
Little.
I still have two pins
right
here.
We'll
put you in that category,
buddy. I like Steph. I like Steph coming back to play this year. We keep talking about Gordon Hayward, OG, at a year-long layoff. It took him a long time to come back. We talk about Kristaps Porzingis, 20-month layoff, then he got time to come back. Don't make your layoff so long, and then you won't need as much time to come back. And I know Steph wants to come out of the gates firing next year. They will have a lot to prove to a lot of people. Jackie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah,
you will be back tomorrow. These guys are sticking around, so you have to stick around, too, because we're going to be talking about James Harden. He's averaging 37 points per game at the moment. Is that something,
nothing, or everything?
Stick around for that. And here's what The Jump recommends for today. Really interesting piece from Kevin Arnovitz. It's a column and sort of just look taking us inside the silent tension surrounding Daryl Morey. If you want to know kind of how it was on the Morey side of this crazy drama, Kevin has it. It's really, really good. Take a look at that during the break.
Best writers we have.
Hey, look, SportsCenter, 6 o'clock Eastern, has L. It has Kevin, and they're going to evaluate Baker Mayfield and the Browns' playoff chances. You can check that out on ESPN and on the app. Welcome back. It is time for another version of The Jumps.
Something.
Nothing.
Everything.
A little more enthusiasm here, please. The people at home did it better. Starting in Milwaukee, Chris Middleton is expected to miss the next 3 to 4 weeks with a left thigh contusion. Middleton, an all-star last year, is the second leading scorer for the Bucks. So, Paul, is Chris's absence something, nothing, or everything?
That's something.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen them really play well yet consistently. I mean, they're winning games, but they almost lost an OKC the last game. Okay. They need their all-star consistent scorer. You know, Giannis has been on a tear, yes, I know, but nobody else is as consistent as he is on this team. So I expect them to lose a few games with him out because they need his scoring.
Look, he hasn't played well with Giannis at the same time. They're doing a lot of trading off. I saw them in Utah the other day, and Middleton struggled. But the reality is he is their really only other offensive threat who can create his own. He was an excellent ISO player last year, and he's also their best shooter on volume. Obviously, Kyle Korver is a great shooter, but doesn't get as much shots and minutes. So you're talking about a really huge piece out for a month. The Celtics are winning.
Yep.
The Sixers are going to be good. And Miami keeps winning, So this matters. It is something. It's not everything, though, because he'll be back, and you got enough time left for the rest of the season.
This is where you get back to me for Eric Bledsoe, X-Factor, right? Because obviously he's solid defensively, but very hot and cold on the other side of the ball. He's not going to be Middleton, but you need him to be more consistent.
He needs to make shots, and that's the big thing. He's been really inconsistent, particularly with his perimeter jump shot, the three-pointer not
falling. They don't have anybody else that you can rely on consistently. Like, this guy's going to give us 15 to 18 tonight.
You might have wanted Malcolm Brogdon.
Brogdon, I was about to say.
Anyway, let's talk about James Harden because he is somehow scoring even more than he did last year. Oh, yes, after 10 games, Harden is averaging more than 37 points a game, which is the most for any player's first 10 games of the season in 50 years. Guys, if you do the math, he is scoring more than a point per minute. So, Paul, do you think Harden's hot start is something, nothing, or everything?
I don't think it's nothing right now. Now, if he's averaging 40, is something, because we've seen James Harden.
T-Mac maintains he will average 40 at some point this season.
He went a whole month where we saw this guy average 40 points. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing for the first 10 games to see him average 37. I mean, we've seen Harden put on some miraculous offensive performances. But until you get to that 40-mark plateau, it's just nothing right now.
Here's the deal. Right,
it's just 10 games. Remember
the company
that.
It's just means 10 it's games. Gotta be something. It's with MJ
just
and
10
Kobe.
Games.
It's something, and here's why. It's something because A, he isn't even shooting the ball that well, yes. Right? So this is him struggling from the field, scoring that many points. And then the other thing is, we were all wondering and questioning how him and Russell Westbrook would fit with one another in terms of their offensive game. It's jury's still out in terms of the team being successful with these two, but clearly, he's not having a problem getting his offense off again, and this is him struggling from the field.
Here's why I think this is everything.
Everything.
Because of his percentages. So he's shooting 41% from the floor, 30% from three. Guess how those numbers are going to go? Up. He's doing what? Double-digit three-point attempts in every game, getting to a line on a bunch of those.
Yeah.
So if he's averaging 37 now, what do you think he is
going
to average once
going
the ball starts going in?
On the T-Mac side and going with the 40?
He kind of has me convinced.
Oh.
We're getting closer to that.
Where you
I mean, I just look at how he's shooting. This is not going to last.
I can't see.
His usage rate is at an all-time high.
40?
I mean,
in the last few years,
they're going to need him to have his shot percentage goes up and to have even more points because defensively
you know why? Another reason why we haven't mentioned is last year, they were one of the slowest teams in the league. This year, they're one of the fastest, so he's got more opportunities.
Absolutely, more possessions. And that, by the way, is the answer, in part. There was a little bit of like, oh, is there going to be enough for two of the highest usage players, yeah. Paul, in Russ and James, in league history? I think they were 1 and 2 yeah. in league history in usage. Mm-hmm. Well, guess how you can have more turns for everyone? Create more turns! Russell Westbrook pushing the pace there is really interesting. Now, James Harden's next matchup is the Clippers. That is going to be Wednesday on ESPN.
Oh.
All right, Andrew Wiggins finding a groove in the last 5 games. So is this something or nothing or everything? Wiggins had 30 points last night in a win over the Pistons. It's his 5th consecutive game, Paul, scoring at least 25. He's also the 11th youngest player ever with 8,000 points. What do you got on Wiggins? Something, nothing, or everything?
This is everything. This is what they've been asking him to be. This is why they kept him and traded LaVine. They said, Wiggins, we're going to pay you. We need you to step up and be the star we paid you to be. And that's what he's doing right now, playing to his potential. He has an upside to where he's athletic. He can shoot the three. He can put the ball on the floor. And he's just being more aggressive each and every night. And this is all they ask for him. Are you a top 100 player, Wiggins? Yes, you are, buddy. That's not any question anymore.
Huh. All right. Well, I would like if our director can show Amin's face right now while Paul was
talking. He's not convinced. I can see it
on
his
face.
Look, this game, I love this game. I rarely go to nothing, but this is nothing. This is who he's been. He does it for a little bit, and we get excited. Like, ooh, it's finally coming together for Andrew Wiggins.
It looks like it's more consistent now. He's playing consistent basketball.
That's the face I wanted. We just got a close of his face because
the tiger doesn't change his stripes. He just changes jungles. People like that's not. He's not a second or third year player. He's been in the league for a while. He does this every year.
Changing jungles can reshape you too.
Give the face.
He's reshaped, and I see it.
I have spoken.
That's the entire time Paul was talking. Paul's talking. They're showing great clips of Andrew Wiggins, and that face was happening the entire time. Let's get to the Nets. They're 4-5, but their defense has been really the mitigating factor here. They're giving up nearly 122 points a game. Only the Pelicans, who have no Zion Williamson, have allowed more points this season. The Nets were 18th in points allowed last season. So, I mean, it's not as if they were lighting, you know, they weren't a top 10 defense last season.
Right.
But they have dropped. What do you think? Is that something, nothing, or everything?
It is absolutely something. They're bottom 5 in the league in defensive rating right now. That's not good. Their identity over the last few years, and I'm just saying last year because they made the playoffs, but even before that was always tough, scrappy. We don't want to play the Nets because we don't play hard all night long.
Yeah.
That identity kind of running away on them right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, opponent 3-point percentage is not really a good metric, but the number of threes you give up is a much better accurate depiction. Like, good defense is, we say, stopping from taking a three, not make you shoot a poorer percentage. But what's happening now is you're seeing as the personnel changes, it's harder to remain consistent to the ideals because now you have to fit who you have in the building. When you have in the building is Kyrie Irving was a guy who's not known for his defense, and is known for being very ball dominant, and that's what we're seeing.
This is nothing.
Nothing.
This is what I expected the Brooklyn Nets to be without Kevin Durant. Mm. These, you know, you got rid of a primetime player who's over in Golden State now, and you add Kyrie. This team had great chemistry. When I looked at this team, this was one of the most fun teams to watch a year ago. When you looked over at their bench, they were dancing, they were smiling, they was excited.
Yep.
You know, they was reacting to everything. Look at this. They were fun. I don't see that right now. And that has to do to the chemistry. When you take away Russell, D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, but D'Angelo was not a defensive
It doesn't matter. World. These guys had a camaraderie. They had a chemistry together.
Yes, that's true.
And when you bring in another piece and you don't know if you guys are friends, things can get socially awkward, you guys don't hang out anymore, it could be not as fun. This team is not having fun right now. You can see it.
A lot of what we see is in team defense is sacrifice, right? The idea that I'm playing for him. Yes. I'm doing things. I'm going to not let him. I'm not going to sell him out.
Right.
He's going, I'm helping the helper and stuff like that. When you don't have that tight of a bond, it's subconscious. You just don't try as hard for another guy. Yes. Basically, you're more concerned about, hey, I'm going to my man. I got my stuff done.
Right. All right. Well, the Nets also, strange news this morning. They parted ways with CEO David Levy after just less than 2 months with the team. I worked with David at Turner. Had a fantastic experience working with him. So I'm very curious what is going to happen with that story as well. Up next, AD, probable tonight with a shoulder injury that just won't go away. Is it an injury? Are we just calling it an issue? A twinge? How seriously should we take this? We will discuss that next. You want to stick around for that. Time, though, for our second distant replay of the day. This one is from this date in 2007 by a man named J.R.
Vince Carter. All
right. It does not involve suit.
Okay, all right. Let's see, J.R., what you got? Okay.
J.R. Smith.
Pre-suit.
Throw it up.
Ooh, he almost hit his head on the rim.
No chicken tortilla in this highlight.
Oh, man, that was uncalled for, Rachel.
I love J.R. Smith. He's one of the most fun guys I've ever covered. And
what about T. Lou?
Don't come now. Don't stop caring about me.
All right, high noon is minutes away, and Pablo and I are going to discuss whether the 49ers are still Super Bowl contenders.
Did Russell Wilson just end the MVP debate?
Is it time to consider the Celtics as the best team in the East?
And the Knicks are finding new ways to be dysfunctional. So stay tuned.
Hey, look, a new season of 30 for 30 podcast is here. Episode 1, telling the story of basketball superstars Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird, the relationship they had with their Russian team owner, who had his own mysterious past. For the stories of being a KGB spy or him being involved in organized crime true, you can find out. Look at the artwork for that. That's pretty cool.
That
I like
cool.
it. All right, our League Pass game of the night tonight, Lakers at Suns. Phoenix is just one game behind the Lakers for first place in the West.
Break up the Suns.
Producer Schwartz, our researcher, isn't even working on the show today because he's just getting ready for this game. The Lakers are coming off a loss to Toronto, and in that game, Anthony Davis kind of re-aggravated that shoulder injury. I don't know what to call it because he's been dealing with it for a couple weeks. He's been playing through it.
He tweaked it.
He spoke to reporters about his status. Take a listen.
We're moving in the right direction. It's getting better. You know, it's just certain plays that, you know, kind of take a couple steps back. And, you know, wish it didn't, but basketball, you know, when you're making, you know, plays like I make or do some of the things I do the way I play, it's actually going to happen.
So, Paul, how safe would you play it with AD's shoulder? Would you start holding him out a little more?
Without a doubt. He has a history of injuries throughout his career. So, and this is the one concern we had about the Lakers, if AD and LeBron were going to be healthy this year. So right now is the time to start managing these things a little more carefully because it's more important that the Lakers are healthy at the end of the year than trying to get out to win number one
in the West. So. I want to point out while this is on, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Paul, but that 56% is not, I mean, the 56 game, 68% is not due to injury. Yeah. That was coach's decision with what was the drama going on there. And to your point, earlier in his career, those numbers are lower. Once you get to the last 4 years, those numbers go back up, but you don't want them to go back down again.
Right. And, you know, you just got to be careful with something like that because, like Paul said, who cares if we're the best team in the league in November and December?
Right. Absolutely. This just in at the buzzer. We can add Eric Gordon to the growing list of injuries in the NBA. Mike D'Antoni confirming that Gordon will have knee surgery.
Wow.
He'll miss about 6 weeks. He's coming off the best game of his season, scoring 17 points in New Orleans last night. Seems like a pretty good big hit for them. So
they need a scoring punch.
Be interested. All right. Reminder, Disney Plus app.
Download
Amin has been on this
download
whole morning.
It's amazing.
We don't have to give this plug,
everything.
But literally this is all he's been doing today.
It has everything.
Today.
Mandalorian, so. I have spoken.